Well, hello, Auditorium Sunday School class. Good morning. It's good to be with you by this video streaming. And we're, of course, looking forward to the time when we'll be back together. It seems like we're getting closer and closer to that time. And, of course, announcements will be made about that. Let me ask you to continue in your prayers for Brother Jerry Tate, who is still in a nursing home and having some pretty serious problems. Be praying for he and Pat. And then Brother Poledna, continue to pray for him. He's been in a nursing facility for quite a while now. Then Joe and Nancy Hawkins, of course, with Nancy's cancer. And Brother Joe had some health issues. Continue to pray for Lakita Spann and Brother Frank. And Lakita is taking some more treatments and took one last Thursday, I believe it was. But we want to continue to pray for them. And I know that they will appreciate it. And God answers prayer. So we're looking forward to holding them up in prayer. Announcement-wise, the best thing to do for announcements would be to go to worthbc.org if you are able to do that on a computer or some other means. And maybe if you receive email, you should have gotten an email from the pastor laying out some of the information about the guidelines coming up. There will be at least a partial attendance of the congregation before long, and that is all posted. And I'll post it on our WBC Auditorium announcement page there underneath the worthbc.org, and you can look that up. I'll try to announce the first phase of that so that you'll have it for our Sunday school class. But it's good to be with you, and we've been praying for you, and I hope you all are doing well. And we, again, just look so forward to when we'll be back together. Now let's go ahead and go into our Sunday school material. We are in a series entitled Facing Goliath, Daring to Engage in Spiritual Battle. Daring to Engage in Spiritual Battle. Lesson 1, dare to answer God's call. We should answer the call of God as His children. Lesson number 2, dare to take on giants. Maybe not physical giants, but they are giants in our lives, and we can take them on in the power of God. And then lesson number 3, dare to serve the King. Every believer should be serving the Lord, and we need to serve our King. And then today's lesson is lesson number 4, dare to be a leader. And we look at David and his mighty men. Dare to be a leader. David was a leader. Now, our text, if you have your Bibles handy, is 1 Samuel 22. We'll be looking at some other verses, but these two verses we'll start out with. David therefore departed thence and escaped to the cave Adullam. And when his brethren and all his father's house heard it, they went down thither to him. So David was in the cave of Adullam, and these other friends went down where he was. And everyone that was in distress, and everyone that was in debt, and everyone that was discontented gathered themselves unto him, and he became a captain over them, and there were with him about 400 men. So David was in the cave of Adullam, which was about 13 miles from Bethlehem, and he and his family, and then these 400 men who decided to join him. Well, they were really in a win-win situation, David and his mighty men, because they needed each other. And so, as they needed each other, they were working together. God had put them together and to help out. Now, this was sort of an unlikely group, discontented people, people in debt. The scripture says that this was the kind of people that was there with him. And they were people that yet were an unlikely group that you would think you would choose to help you out. But these were loyal men. And they were men that God wanted in his life. So, what was their attraction? Well, their attraction to David. Number one, their attraction to their leader. What was it? Well, you remember now that Saul was jealous. David has slain his 10,000, Saul his thousands, and he was angry and jealous and didn't like the attention that David was getting. And David now was a fugitive. I mean, he wanted to kill him. King Saul wanted to kill David. And there he was fleeing to the cave of Adullam. This was not the only place where David had to hide out, but this is one of the main places that we're familiar with. And there in that cave, some came to his aid. And so he mentions those in those two verses that we've read to you. Now, here's a lesson for us, and that is to see the need and take the lead. To see the need and take the lead. And so this is what happened in David's situation, but it also was something that was true of those who were following him. And this is a tremendous lesson for believers. When you see others who are part of God's family who are in distress, or maybe they are under attack, like David was in some measure, it's not time to wait and see what happens. We ought to see the need and by God's grace step out and provide the lead to get the job done. And that's what they did. They saw the need and they went to help David. Now, why did they get together? What was it that brought them together? Well, number one, it was based on their need. It was based on their need. These people were rejected people. They were people that other folks didn't want if they were not loyal to Saul. And many times that's the way life is those who are rejected and those who are mistreated that go and fight for a cause and later they win that battle. The indentured colonists who came over, all they wanted to do was just nothing more than have the spirit to give to a new country. But they were rejected by others. Many times we know in our society that the inventors were thought to be crazy and people didn't want to be around them and they would often reject them. And yet it would be that kind of person that would be a very, very productive person, even though they were rejected. And so these men were rejected, and they had a need. That need was to have a leader, and the leader was David, and they needed to follow him. And David's men were just seemingly a lot of misfits. We know God can use people like that in the New Testament times, not just back then, but in 1 Corinthians chapter 1, he talks about God's tool chest and all of the things that are involved there. And he said, God has chosen the foolish to confound the wise. That's like God. That's just like God to do that. To choose the foolish to confound the wise. Or to choose some of those who are so actually imperfect and to use them. Now, someone has said, if you think God can't use you, just remember these things. One of them, Noah got drunk. And then Abraham was too old. Isaac was a daydreamer. Jacob was a liar. Leah was ugly. Joseph was abused. Moses had a stuttering problem. Gideon was afraid. Rahab was a prostitute. Jeremiah and Timothy were very young. David had an affair and was a murderer. And Elijah was suicidal at times. He was so depressed. Jonah ran from God. Naomi was a widow. Job went bankrupt. John the Baptist ate bugs. Peter denied God, denied Christ. The disciples fell asleep while Christ was praying. Martha worried about everything. The Samaritan woman was divorced more than once. Zacchaeus was too small. Paul was too religious. And Lazarus was dead. So if you think God can't use you, consider some of these. God can use people, and God uses deficient men and women many times to glorify His name, and so it glorifies Him, and it shows His sufficiency. It gives all the praise to Him, and they don't take the praise because they know that they don't really deserve it anyway, and God has picked them up and used them, and God has blessed them. It's His sufficiency that will give you the ability to get the job done and to be a leader in some way, in some measure, in our culture. So this was based, the getting together was based on their need. And that's what attracted them to David, and David to them. And then it was based on their leader's sufficiency. Their leader's sufficiency. You see, these men, these 400 men, had confidence in David. They really did. They'd have never gone there and been with him if they didn't have confidence in him. They believed that he was God's anointed. They knew that he had already been anointed and as the king to be, and they knew that he was God's anointed man. Now, you and I have a leader too, don't we? Their leader was David, but our leader is Jesus Christ, the Lord Jesus Christ. Hebrews 12, 1 and 2. The Bible says, "Wherefore, seeing we also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which does so easily beset us, and let us run the race with patience, or run with patience the race that is set before us." And notice these words, "looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God." Oh, what a leader we have. And this just reminds us of what a great leader, the author and finisher of our faith. We follow him. And you know what? If we follow him, here's what's going to happen. Things are going to end up well. And that's the way it was with David and his men. I know later on when he was king, they were glad. They were glad that they followed him. And when Jesus rules and reigns on the planet Earth in the millennial rule and reign, folks, we're going to be glad that we followed our leader. So they knew where to go to seek help. And they went to David. Of course, they together went to God. And we need help. We go to God. That's where you got to go. You have some challenges. You need some help today. And then you need to go to God. 1 Peter 5, 7. "Casting all of your care," all of them, "all of your care upon him, for he careth for you." 2 Corinthians 12, 9. "And he said unto me, my grace is sufficient for thee, for my strength is made perfect in weakness." Do you see that? Perfect in weakness, his strength. "Most gladly, therefore, will I rather glory in my infirmities," Paul said, "that the power of Christ may rest upon me." Paul said, "I have problems and infirmities, but I want to have the power of Christ on me, and I want people to see the power of Christ in my life." And so that was the attitude of Paul. Now, the attraction was based on their need, and the attraction was based on their leader's sufficiency. Second main division of the lesson, their loyalty to their leader. They knew who their leader was, and they were brought together based on their need and his sufficiency. But then they were loyal to him. You see, loyalty is so important. And many times there are leaders that are loyal, and then there are followers that are loyal. And thank God for loyal leaders like David and followers that are loyal. But sometimes in leadership, leadership is neutral. And it's a sad thing, but sometimes the leader is not loyal. They just take a neutral position. They're not loyal. They're not disloyal. They just are in neutrality. Well, you know what? Love and loyalty go together. They are really verbs. They're action words. And so we need to have that supportive action from our leaders, and we need to be loyal to our leaders. Thank God for pastors who are loyal leaders. And we find that we can follow them and serve them and enjoy doing that. And they'll follow, they'll be respected by us and they'll care for us. Bud Calvert, a pastor friend of mine and others that are familiar with him and his ministry, Bud Calvert pastored the Fairfax Baptist Temple and was the head of the Fairfax, Virginia Christian School. And we lived in Harrisonburg, Virginia, just a few hours from him. But he had a great Christian school. Well, one of his men that he had working for him was called Mr. Gil Hansen. Mr. Gil Hansen was a graduate of the U.S. Naval Academy. He received his master's degree from George Washington University. He graduated from the Naval War College. He graduated from the National Defense University. He was in his last command. He was commanding the USS Gray. He was responsible for 275 men and 25 other officers. Now, Brother Calvert was thinking and wondering, how can this man show loyalty to me, his pastor? How can he do that? And always when he would send, when he was became a worker on staff, he would send memos to Pastor Bud Calvert, and he would sign them very respectfully. Very respectfully. And so Dr. Calvert asked him one time, why do you sign it that way? Well, he explained if an officer sends a memo to someone under his command, they would sign it respectfully. They're under their command. But he said if a junior officer was sending a memo to a higher officer, then he would always sign it very respectfully. And so what he was saying, he said, my pastor, I'll always sign that way for him because he is my leader. And so they respected David, and we need to respect our leadership. They served him willingly. 2 Samuel chapter 23 and verse 16, the Bible says, and the three mighty men break through the host of the Philistines and drew water out of the well of Bethlehem that was gone by the gate and took it and brought it to David. Nevertheless, he would not drink it, but poured it out unto the Lord. You see, these men were mighty men, and they went to great lengths to just to please David. You heard the old proverb and been told about the proverbial genie who would say, your wish is my command. Well, there's no such thing really as far as a genie, but I can tell you that that should be the way it is with us and the Lord. And that's the way it is. Great people will go to great lengths for leaders. And these men loved David, and they were willing to go to great lengths for him. And what happened was he just mentioned he'd like to have a little water from the water over in Bethel. And that was, by the way, his hometown. That's where he was raised as a little boy. And often he would drink at that water. And he was saying, I just love to have a drink of water from that old well where I was a young boy. Boy, that would taste so good to me. Well, they took off with it. And all they needed to know was that was what he wanted, and they wanted to go do it. But he was sort of ashamed of himself almost, that they risked their lives to go get him some water and basically offered it as a sacrifice unto the Lord in a sense. But you know what? God looks on our hearts, folks, and he wants out of us, he wants to be our leader, and he wants us to have willing hearts. Listen to 2 Corinthians 8:12. For if there be first a willing mind or a willing heart, it is accepted according to that a man hath, and not according to what he hath not. God doesn't expect us to do what we can't do, but God does expect us to have a willing heart to do what we can do. Let me share a couple of quotes with you. Every church is filled with willing people. Some are willing to work, and others are willing to let them. Oh my, pastoring for 50 years, I can tell you that's true. Another quote, it does not require great learning to be a Christian and be convinced of the truth of the Bible. It requires only an honest heart and a willingness to obey God. That's really what it takes. A willing heart, a willingness to obey God, and God expects that out of us. And so they were loyal to their leader, and they served him willingly. And then they served him not only willingly, but wholeheartedly. They served him wholeheartedly. That's what God wants out of us. 2 Samuel 23, going back to verse 17. And he said, be it far from me, O Lord, that I should do this. Is not this the blood of the men that went in jeopardy of their lives? Therefore he would not drink it. These things did these three mighty men. Wow. They served him wholeheartedly. Enough that they said, we'll put our lives in jeopardy for you. And we'll go with our whole heart. They knew that there'd be a garrison around that well. They knew there would be soldiers. But they were brave men who wanted to please their leader. And David wished that, and it became something they wanted to do. Now, David didn't say, you've got to go over there, and you've got to endanger your life, and you must get me that drink of water, and I command you to do it. He didn't have that attitude. He was just simply thinking out loud. He did not demand it, but he just mentioned that he'd love to have it. Well, they were showing their loyalty to David. Now, here's a question we need to ask ourselves. Are we that willing to be loyal to our Lord? If he asks you to do something, are you willing with your whole heart to do it? To do what God tells you to do? God does not like lukewarmness. He just doesn't like lukewarmness. Revelation 3:16, you heard it many times, but listen to it one more time. So then, because thou art lukewarm, and neither cold nor hot, I will spew thee out of my mouth. God said, half-heartedness and foot-dragging makes me sick. And so, Jesus was our example, and I want to tell you, he served as the God-man. He served his Father wholeheartedly. In fact, even when he was young, you remember he was lost, and they couldn't find him, and there he was in the temple. They came back, and they were talking to him, and he said these words, wist ye not? In other words, don't you know, can't you see, that I must be about my Father's business? Even when he was young, even when he was just that little boy, he was about his Father's business. And so Samuel gives a challenge in 1 Samuel 12, 24. Only fear the Lord. Oh, how we need that today. A reverential awe. Only fear the Lord and serve him in truth with all your heart. Oh, friend, dear, dear Christian friend, God deserves that we give him our best, and we give our best with our whole heart. For consider how great things he hath done for you. You could preach a whole message on that. Think about the great things that God has done for you and the great things that God has done for me. And so the chief shepherd is the Lord Jesus Christ. But you know, he gives us under-shepherds. And our under-shepherd is our pastor. And we should appreciate those that our pastors, the under-shepherds, and follow willingly and follow wholeheartedly, as long as they are following the scriptures of the Word of God. We should do that without any question. John Hancock, one of those that formed the Declaration of Independence, signed for it. He signed in real large letters on purpose. He wanted to sign in those large letters because he wanted the King of England to be able to read it, he said, without his glasses on. He wanted him to know he was loyal to the new country. He and 55 others were bold and loyal to the new country, and he wanted him to know it. I wanted to ask you this question. Have you made it clear to your friends and to those around you and to the Lord himself, have you made it clear that you, your loyalty is indeed totally to the King of Kings? You're going to be loyal to him no matter what takes place in your life. Your loyalty is to the King of Kings. And that's exactly the way they were. And so they wanted people to see that David was their leader, and they were wholeheartedly loyal to him. Oh, Jesus is my leader, and by his grace, I want to be wholeheartedly surrendered to him. And then thirdly, their mightiness for their leader. David was a mighty man. He slew Goliath. We know that story and other great things that he did. And you know what? Because David was a man of faith and a mighty man who depended on God and knew God could take care of the situations at any point, then he attracted mighty men. Men of faith attract people of faith. And so that's the way David was. And the mightiness of their leader made them become valiant men. They were valiant men. 2 Samuel 21:16, some real peculiar names here, but these are some of those valiant men. And Ishbi-Benob, which was of the sons of the giant, the weight of whose spear weighed 300 shekels of brass in weight, he being girded with a new sword, thought to have slain David. But Abishai, the son of Zariah, succored him and smote the Philistines, a Philistine, and killed him. Then the men of David sware unto him, saying, Thou shalt go no more out with us to battle, that thou quench not the light of Israel. We don't want you to get killed, is what they were saying. And it came to pass after this that there was again a battle with the Philistines at Gob. Then Sabaiah the Hushathite slew Saph, which was of the sons of the giants, of the giant. And there was again a battle in Gob with the Philistines, where Elhanan, the son of Jair, Origem, a Bethlehemite, slew the brother of Goliath the Gittite, the staff of whose spear was like a weaver's beam. And there was yet a battle in Gath, where was a man of great stature. He had on every hand 6 fingers, and on every foot 6 toes, and 24 in number, an unusual physical condition. And he also was born to the giant. And when he defied Israel, Jonathan, the son of Shimea, the brother of David, slew him. These 4 were born to the giant in Gath and fell by the hand of David and, notice this, by the hand of his servants. He was a giant killer. They were giant killers because they followed the faith and the confidence that David had in God, and therefore they had faith in God. Sort of sounds like a science fiction thing, but that really happened. So David slew the giant, and by the way, that spear that he was talking about, like a weaver's beam, that's big, and the head of it was 17 pounds. And yet, they weren't afraid. They stood up to him. You know why? They were inspired by David. They knew what David's God could do. In 2 Samuel 23, we have another group of people. I'm going to turn there. 2 Samuel 23, you may want to turn in your Bibles to that reference. And we'll go to verse 18 in 2 Samuel 23. And just listen at this group of people, beginning with verse 18. And he said, And Abishai, the brother of Joab, the son of Zariah, was chief among the 3, and he lifted up his spear against 300 and slew them, and had the name among 3. Well, I won't take time to read all of these, but one slew a lion, Benaiah, other ones slew other people, and many of them, as many as 30 plus. They were brave men. That's the point that we're seeing. And they were able to do that. Abishai, can you imagine? One man stood and he killed 300 other people. And the others were mentioned. Moab and killed a lion down in the pit. Now, listen to me. We can do great things too. We can be valiant like them. Maybe not fighting physical lions and those things and military battles. But whatever challenges we have and whatever things we need to work through and however we need to serve God, the Bible says in Psalm 16, verse 12, though through God we shall do valiantly. That's above the normal, valiantly. For he it is that shall tread down our enemies. Don't be afraid of the enemies. Get out there, step up for God, step out for God. Know that God can help you, and you'll be able to do those things. In the 1800s, a man by the name of James Calvert, he went out as a missionary to the cannibals, to the Fiji Islands. And as the ship and Calvert got near the islands, the captain was very concerned because he knew how terrible those people were. And he made this statement to James Calvert. He said, "You'll lose your life and the lives of those with you if you go among such savages." He was pleading with him not to do it. And this was Calvert's only response. He said, "We died before we came here." Oh, God, help us to daily die to the self-willed way of life. "I'm crucified with Christ, nevertheless I live. Yet not I, but Christ liveth in me." And that's what James Calvert was saying. We died before we came here. And they were committed to it. Right now, there are missionaries being killed around the world. But they have gone as brave missionaries, valiant missionaries. I remember a friend of mine, and when he was in Connersville, Indiana, when I pastored there, he would come by and we'd go out and knock on doors, a number of 50, 60 doors in a daytime. And John Casillas was quite a soul winner. Then he went to the mission field, and John Casillas was murdered on the mission field. I always thought of John as being a very, very valiant man. So they were valiant, and then they were victorious. 2 Samuel 23:9-12. "And after him was Eleazar, the son of Dodo the Ahohite." Love these names, don't you? "One of the three mighty men with David. When they defied the Philistines that were there gathered together to battle, and the men of Israel were gone away, he arose and smote the Philistine until his hand was weary and his hand clave unto the sword. And the Lord wrought a great victory that day, and the people returned after him only to spoil, to pick up the spoils. And after him was Shema, the son of Agi, the Hararite. And the Philistines were gathered together in a troop, where was a piece of ground full of lentils. And the people fled from the Philistines. But he stood in the midst of the ground and defended it and slew the Philistines. And the Lord," notice who gets the credit, "the Lord wrought a great victory." The victory was by God. The men were only the tools. And they always, David and the rest of them, gave God the credit for it. Somebody's going to go out here and build a house. It is not the tools that build the house. It's the one who used the tools effectively. And my friend, that's our Lord that would use us. Shema was alone. Shema was by himself. Sometimes we may feel that way. You may feel alone today. You may feel distressed. You may feel very depressed, maybe. You're fighting that battle. But may I remind you that God will give the victory. As for Eleazar, he said his hand clave unto the sword. He didn't drop it. He held on to it, to even all the tighter. And again, who wrought the victory? God did, but he used Eleazar. Are you tired sometimes in the work? Don't quit. Don't get tired of the work. Trust the Lord. Fight the battle. Endure. Isaiah 40:31. "But they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles." That's powerful. Wings of eagles. "They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint." Thank God for people like that. Well, I can tell you today, God needs mighty men. And we need to follow our leader, the Lord Jesus Christ. We need to desire to do great things for him, both men and women, to do great things for the Lord. And God will give us victory. And when he gives us victory, whatever the challenges we have, God gives us the victory, and we need to give him the glory for giving us the victory. Thank God for the victory we have in Christ today. And so, my dear friend, we need to just serve the Lord, dare to be a leader, and do like David and his mighty men. And hallelujah, God can use us. Let's pray. Father, help us to follow our leader, your Son, the Lord Jesus, and help us to depend on you and him to conquer the enemy, to have great victories. And Lord, just help us to keep our eyes fastened on you. And we thank you for Jesus, who set the pattern for us. And Lord, help us to follow our leader and to be brave and to be bold and to have great victories because of him. And to give you the glory for any achievements, any victories we have, may you be glorified through them. In Jesus' name, amen. God bless you.